Well, in my experience, churches that are seeing the most growth have really engaged online community building as a central strategy at their church. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the keys to building better groups online. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about seven strategies to help your church better build community online, specifically digitally, we're talking about. So
there we go.
Should be a good conversation. I think everything shifted at COVID and churches that were exclusively in person had to reckon with the fact that the digital community building was something they had to pivot to. And then in a way, it kind of hasn't gone away. And I think, let's start, say this at the beginning, Ian. You and I think both, all things being equal, think that in-person community is better than online community, I think. So
yes.
And maybe better is not the right word, but like we can't abdicate our responsibility of actually physically being together as believers,
right?
That's right. Something that's important.
Yes.
I will say that digital community is much, much more convenient in lots of ways.
Yeah.
And it is a huge opportunity for churches. And if it's leveraged right, it can be a real tool to help churches reach more people and grow. That's what we're all about here. So I think it's going to be a good conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, Thomas. Why don't you kick us off with the first one?
Awesome. So the first one should be obvious. It's probably the first thing you think of when you think of community online is churches need to embrace social media wisely. When I say wisely, I really want to steer you towards using the best methods of using social media.
Yeah.
And I will warn you with this is that social media has pivoted a few years ago from being about community to about entertainment in a lot of ways. Rise of Reels and TikTok and YouTube Shorts and those things, it's actually made it so that, you know, it's not always your friends that you're seeing on there. You know,
right.
You and I were around for the advent of social media where, you know, we would make fun of ourselves now, or people would always post whatever they were eating for dinner and that kind of stuff.
You know how the memories come up from 9 to 14 years ago. It's hilarious.
They're embarrassing, right? You're like, I can't believe I posted that.
I'm excited to go for a jog tonight. Man, I'm getting into this fitness routine.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So it's changed, but there is still an opportunity, especially for churches, to kind of build community there. I think the obvious thing is things like making reels or TikToks out of your videos, out of your sermons. But then here's where like your biggest opportunity is remember that everybody that comments on anything you do on social media is a real person.
Yep.
And so I see a lot of churches just kind of put content out there and make it a one-way conversation and not invite conversation back and kind of respond to comments, ask questions, get answers, go back and forth with people within reason. You know, if people are criticizing you or, you know, cussing you out on your comments, you're not obligated to keep responding to them and having those conversations online.
Right.
But if it's sincere questions, I think that that's where community happens online. So really big opportunity. Social media, I think, is a huge thing for churches.
Yeah. Not just posting your events and announcements and all of that.
Yep.
So next one is make sure your leadership is equipped for digital ministry. You know, because it's not all about you as the senior pastor. You can't connect with everyone. You're not a one-man gang digitally. And even if there's going to be a couple of church leaders that are maybe a little more savvy with digital ministry, if you will, and things online, but make sure, especially for ministry leaders that are interacting with people and discipling people and communicating, that they have the right tools, that they are not just relying on when someone can meet them for coffee, but that they're using media, social media, that they're using text effectively even.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of other things too, but make sure your leadership team is up to speed and relevant to who you're ministering to. Yeah.
So I'm the executive pastor at my church, and something that I've found we've had to really wrestle with is making sure that everybody on our leadership team is using our church management software in the same way. So like I'm sure a lot of our audience, we use Planning Center as our church management software. And so different leaders in our church use it with varying degrees of success. And so I think it's so important, part of like equipping our leaders to do this is making sure that everybody is well-trained, everybody knows how to do it, and that we're all committed to using the same system. So, you know, regardless of where you lead, you know, do people sign up on Planning Center, or are some of your leaders doing it on there and other ones doing physical forms that they fill out or something like that? Making sure everybody's on the same page and you just kind of enforce a consistency there. We found that to be something that's been really helpful for us. Yeah. A work in progress, but something that has been helpful at the same time. So in that same vein, the next one is building your small groups online. I think every modern church management software, whether it's Planning Center or Church Community Builder or Fellowship One or one of the other hundreds of options you have out there, they all have options to build your small group database online. And I think if you're wanting to help people get connected into a community, it really is so important that people can do that with the other, you know, 150, 160 hours they have every week outside of Sunday morning, right? So if the only time you can sign up for a small group is at the Next Steps table at your church on Sunday, well, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. So getting those online, and I'd say using your church management software to help you do that. Just today, I linked up our life groups at our church. There we have 27 available groups that people can go to, but even I didn't know kind of the extent of that and where they were and who was leading them. And you could actually, we dialed it in on our website so people can just click on there, find a group that maybe would fit them, reach out to the leader and kind of start that conversation on their own. So bringing those online is really important.
That's good stuff. The next one is, you know, newsletters. You may not think about that as far as building community, but it is. It's a great way to build community. Obviously, you're not only keeping people in the loop of church events and happenings and initiatives at your church, but in a good newsletter, I know in my church's newsletter, we always offer if someone has something, a story to share, a prayer request, it's a good way to engage people that way. Obviously, it's just a way for people to stay involved, get updates. If they did miss it, we're in the time where not everyone makes it every Sunday. If they make it, you know, a couple of times a month and they miss something or an announcement, keeps them engaged, keeps them connected. So yeah, newsletters are still extremely relevant for engagement and keeping people connected.
Yeah, I have a hot take I want to share about newsletters. I think most churches are squandering one of their biggest opportunities with newsletters. And it's not that they aren't doing it. Some aren't doing it, and that's a big opportunity you're missing. But I think the vast majority of church newsletters that I see, and I'm on lots of these lists just from doing this, we wind up people adding me or maybe you to their church email list, and you see that. And they're just like things like subject lines that say like, you know, weekly update Wednesday, September the 15th, 2024 is their subject line. That is an enormously wasted opportunity because if you gave it an interesting subject line about what the content is going to say in there and actually made it thought-provoking, you could get three times as many people probably to open the email than if you just titled it, hey, weekly update and then the date. And then there's so many other things. We don't have time to talk about all of them in this episode. We've done multiple episodes about how to get the most out of your church newsletter, your weekly emails. I'll leave a link to that down in the description, and then we'll put a card up here if you want to watch another video about how to really dial that in. But that is a big opportunity. So is the next one is getting digital prayer requests. This is something that having a digital prayer request kind of ecosystem is something that is really helpful for churches, especially if people actually get responses to it. So most churches, I'd say now, have some kind of a form someone can fill out where they can get prayer. That's great. We want to continue to have that. But what happens after that is where the real opportunity is. Who does that go to? Your church hopefully has some kind of a prayer chain. Usually you'll want to have a question on that prayer form that says, is this for just the pastors or is this for the entire prayer team? And someone can check one or the other. And then it would get routed to those people based on whoever it is. And then what's so important is that people pray, but then they actually follow up with the person that put in a prayer request. A prayer request is something that people want to be able to pray with someone else. But if someone submits that, you pray for them. And then let's say someone has a surgery in a couple days and you call them 2 days or a day after the surgery to just kind of check in and see how it goes. That's just such a optimal way to build community, I would say. So big opportunity for churches there, really nailing, just having the forms, but really building out the whole ecosystem in your church around online prayer. Really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I'll add to that too, Thomas, you and I, of course, have done what we've done for a long time at ReachRite, but even before that, worked for a company that built church websites. And it's been a thing for so long to have a prayer request form or something on your website that I've seen a lot of churches neglect that now. They think it's kind of a thing of the past because it's, you know, or that everyone's going to write in from all over the country and or anything. But no, you can target people locally. And I will say this too, as a company that I think everyone, well, a lot of people know by now that we help with the Google grant. One of the things we've seen, which is a grant for Google Ads, is that people looking for prayer requests in each church city that we serve, you know, a church at, is a big deal. And to have a good, like you said, not just a form and an engaging page, but a process with it, this is still something very effective. So I'll just add that to it as well, for sure. So next thing is posting clips and recordings. I guess what we mean by this is, of course, your sermon is one of those things for sure. You know, we are big on not recommending live streaming to every church. You know, again, that's something that needs to be done well. There needs to be certain pieces in place, and that's a whole nother discussion. But if you're at least recording with audio, video, and getting maybe key moments, we've talked about how shorts are big. Obviously, you know, snippets from your sermon, these things are critical to get up there to keep people engaged. People, again, missing services, you know, throughout a given month, getting on, getting what they missed, getting that audio or video message, podcast, those things really build community big time.
Yeah. So I would say that the clips is the part where your biggest opportunity is right now to build community online. You know, posting full-length sermons is great, but I think posting short-form vertical video clips is probably, you'll get more views for sure on those than you will on full-length messages in most cases. I would even, I've seen that you could actually get more watch time on those than you do on your full-length sermons, because here's the reality. So an average size church, I don't know, our church is maybe 250 people on a Sunday. We have about 50 to 75 views on the first week of a YouTube video when we put it out. But then on average, they only watch maybe 7 or 8 minutes of the entire sermon, right? So it's that's the average. You know, you probably have a third of them that are watching the whole thing, and then a whole bunch that watch for 15 seconds and click off just to see what it is. That being said, between our Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and TikToks, we probably have around 3,000 views on every single one of our Reels that we put out. And we usually put out 2 or 3 per week from the sermon there. So you make these kinds of videos, you are having a much wider reach, and it's much better at creating community. You're getting more comments. And it's mostly just the way the algorithms are promoting this content right now. So it remains your biggest opportunity. And I think it's really some low hanging fruit for most churches there. So last but not least, I'll say this is that and this is probably obvious to you, but it's important to build engagement and community around online giving opportunities. So I'd say this is something, when you think of online giving, yes, it serves the church, it serves individuals, because, you know, we're blessed when we give. It's better to give than to receive. We're blessed that way. But I think it also is important for community building. I think there's honestly something to be said for that, of giving people an opportunity to give and kind of work together towards some, especially when it's an initiative-driven giving opportunity. Yeah. Right now, our church, we talked about this in our last podcast episode too, but we're doing a beautification of our local high school here. And there's so much momentum around giving towards this and fundraising for it. We're talking about it all the time. The comments on our social media when we talk about it are always engaging. And so all of us is rallying around earning money or bringing in money to be able to put back into our local high school and build park benches and some of these kinds of things in our community there. So I think people now are more hungry and more willing to associate with a cause and towards generosity. Yep. And so I think there's really an opportunity to build community around that.
Indeed, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything else to say as we wrap up, Ian?
No. We just hope that maybe if you were doing one of these things, great. Maybe you were doing all but one, great. So hopefully you can implement one of these things that we've shared here today, for sure.
Yeah, and if there's something that maybe you're doing that we didn't talk about here, I'm sure that there is. There's lots of digital ideas for community spaces. So let us know down in the comments. We'd love to hear about other ideas. We're always looking for new ideas for podcast episodes. If you have any questions about how we do things or what we encourage or best practices for churches, let us know down below. We'd love to have some conversations around that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.